Welcome to Commercializing Living Therapies with CCRM. In this podcast, we'll be engaging with cell and gene therapy industry experts and influencers and sharing insider insights, information, and trends. CCRM is a leader in developing and commercializing regenerative medicine-based technologies and cell and gene therapies. I'm your host, Krista Lamb, and on today's episode, we'll be talking about company creation in the regenerative medicine field. Our guests today are Jackie Janoop, partner and COO at Lumira Ventures, and Robin Quirk, Vice President of Technology Sourcing and Venture Development at CCRM. Welcome to the show. It is so wonderful to have both of you here today. Thank you for joining me.
Good morning.
Hi, Krista. Great to meet you.
Wonderful. And so we're going to start the conversation. I'm going to ask you to introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do. So Jackie, can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about Lumira Ventures?
Yeah. I'm Jackie Janoop. I'm a partner and the chief operating officer of Lumira Ventures. Lumira Ventures is Canada's largest, most active venture capital firm, investing exclusively in the life sciences space. We invest companies developing new therapeutic products, a little bit in the medical device space. And currently we invest in companies North American wide.
Wonderful. And Rob?
Yeah, so I am VP of Technology Sourcing and Venture Development at CCRM. So CCRM is the Center for Commercialization of Regenerative Medicine. And we provide end-to-end commercialization support for cell and gene therapies, starting from early stage IP generation through process development, manufacturing scale-up, and then manufacturing of advanced therapies for clinical and in the future commercial manufacture. I work within a team that's focused on supporting the commercialization of early stage technologies, predominantly through collaboration with academic partners, the end goal being one of company creation and hopefully getting, you know, exciting new therapies to patients to treat current unmet needs.
Really interesting. And so throughout this conversation, I'm going to ask a few questions to help our listeners understand how venture capital firms decide who and what to fund. So let's start by discussing how one idea stands out over another. So how do VCs decide something is worth investing in? Jackie, I will ask that question to you first.
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. And we as a venture firm and every venture firm that will invest in a certain space will have different metrics that we look for. So Lumira Ventures, we through our funds that we raise, we look at the stage of a company or where the technology is. We will do investments in companies developing products at the early stage, meaning preclinical, as well as clinical stage companies. And you know, when you look at any particular company or team that's developing a new asset, I mean, we're going to look at it and we're going to ask questions around, what's the space that you're developing the therapeutic in? What's the market size of that space? What are the barriers to entry into that particular therapeutic area? We'll look at the technology, the target that you're targeting at the end of the day. We will look at the science around that. And, what it will take at the end of the day to take where you are in your development cycle, be it preclinical or clinical stage, and, what's the timeline and what is it going to take to get to the value-creating milestones, right? And the capital requirement to take that company from, where they are at today, where they need to end up in the future, with their clinical program. So a lot around that. There's a whole list of things that we look for. It's going to be IP as well. Management team, team it's going to take, who's there today? What's that team going to look like in the future for the company? And then we're going to say, well, for us, we're a venture investor, and where is the exit going to be for us as investors at the end of the day? do we see that the company would, you know, potentially be taken out by a pharma partner or a biotech partner? Or is this company one that we want to set up and bring a group of investors together to potentially access the larger public capital markets at the end of the day? So we will look at it, you know, very holistically, you know, from the technology side, you know, all the way through to, you know, who are the investors that we would have to bring to put into this company to get it to value.
So many things to keep in mind there. And Rob, I want to ask you a similar question, but I wanted to change it up a little bit in terms of what do the founders need to be thinking about in terms of attracting investment as they're developing a product? And when do you need to think about it? Because Jackie's given us a good list of those things, but I think from the other side, there are some really interesting perspectives we could take.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that the first thing that founders need to do is to try and take a step back a little bit and try and look objectively at what they have and where they're at, and gain some clarity around where things might be headed in terms of the proposed strategy. So, you know, there's some research that needs to be done early on to evaluate things that Jackie's just mentioned about, you know, the market opportunity, the competition, intellectual property landscape, understanding some of the downstream risks around development hurdles, and really knowing the end user, the unmet need. You know, this latter point I think is really important to know what the patient themselves and the clinician actually needs to see in terms of the product presentation, you know, logistics, the clinical benefit, in order to, you know, develop products that are actually going to add value and be well received. So it's quite important to, I think, talk to those potential end users to get key opinion leader perspectives early on, before you embark on this path. And you know, beyond that, I think one thing that's really struck a chord within developing regenerative therapies is to take what we call a bench to bedside and back again approach to development. To what this means is to really try and anticipate the downstream issues that are going to arise around things like manufacturability, around supply, logistics, and those end user requirements again, and to actually build those into the development process, and to ensure that actually they can be built in at an early stage before you embark on this process. So taking that holistic view is really important. Another thing I think when considering whether to set a company up is the issue of manufacturability within our space. You know, the products that we're developing are biologic in nature, and therefore they're inherently variable. You know, being able to ensure that you can get a handle on that variability and that you can scale effectively is really important. And, you know, a lot of companies have come unstuck because they've deferred some of those issues till later on and then found actually, you know, you can't scale this thing up or it becomes prohibitively expensive. I think, you know, beyond that, you know, in terms of when you should think of these things, this is it's a continual process that people go through. But I would, you know, advocate for people starting to think very early, even pre-incorporation, about some of these downstream issues. You know, it's not necessarily a case of having to know everything at the outset or to invest in heavily in things like manufacturing, but you need to be aware of where things might be headed, who you're up against, and what those downstream challenges may be, you know, to give people some degree of comfort that you can actually tackle them.
Those are some wise notes. And Jackie, just to follow up on that, Rob talked a little bit about some of the things to avoid. And I would love to know if you have any things that are red flags or pitfalls that people should avoid when they're looking to get their companies funded, things that maybe they might be doing incorrectly.
I mean, from the very early stage, right, it's really understanding, you know, and I think, Robin, you really summarized it well, is you need to kind of know where you want to end up. At the end of the day, and kind of work back from there, right? So, you know, having some idea of, you know, even the clinical indication that you want to go after, right? That's going to inform the type of preclinical studies, if you're really early stage, that you need to do, the profile of the particular therapeutic that you're looking at here. So, I mean, when you're looking at cell and gene therapy, you know, type of product. Again, there's going to be all kinds of considerations for manufacturing that product, right? And knowing more of that early is really important. And you know, I think the way that, you know, as an early stage founder, when you're doing this, it's reach out to a lot of different individuals to get feedback, right? From KOLs, from those that have kind of been there, done that, you know, from, you know, venture capitalists, from those in pharma. Those conversations and those early feedback really will set you up better than, you know, not doing those activities. That is really important, right? And then when you speak to groups like us that are looking to fund some of these new ventures and technologies, you know, we will ask those questions. And, you know, for us, if you've had a well thought out program and you've done your homework, that will really look good.
Yeah. And I think that you're so right. People are often afraid to talk to people about their ideas, but it's so helpful to get the feedback early before you walk into those big meetings. And Rob, I will just follow up quickly and ask you, are there any things that you advise people who are considering starting a company looking for venture not to do? Are there any pitfalls that you've seen or any advice? Because I'm sure there are people listening who are considering starting a company and would love to know if there are red flags that need to be looked for.
Yeah, so I think there's lots of them. I think it's more in what you don't do. I think there's a lot of prep work and research that I think will stand you in good stead. And I think if you don't do that work, then, you know, things could fall down pretty quickly. So I think it's more about being well prepared, you know, building that strategy and know at least loosely where things are headed rather than taking a somewhat of a random path would be the main thing that I would advocate for there.
Excellent. And Jackie, I wanted to talk to you about some of the big investments in this field recently. There's been so many of them lately. And I wondered if you could talk a little bit about why VCs are really excited about investing in the cell and gene therapies right now.
Well, again, it's going to get to like real unmet need in this space. You know, we take a look at, you know, different ways of, you know, coaxing perhaps your immune system, right, into maybe the best way to explain it is to find the different states in oncology and oncology indication to actually, you know, target the right tissues and the right processes. You know, that type of underlying biology, you know, if you go back, say, you know, 10, 15 years ago, we didn't have the same insights that we have today. And now, you know, using, you know, CRISPR, for instance, and, you know, the delivery mechanisms to actually get genes into certain cells, and then being able to, you know, actually manufacture, you know, these at scale, where you don't have to, you know, perhaps take, you know, my cells, but you can actually have a bank of cells that, you know, you could use for everyone in a particular indication is, you know, very exciting. So there's just a lot of technologies that I think have converged here where we can customize therapeutics for certain indications, you know, particularly in oncology. You know, that certainly is the a big sector, but you can also, you know, start to think about different therapies in autoimmune disease or some other areas that, you know, these therapies could have potential for, you know, and maybe even things in the neurology space. Perhaps that's a little out there, but it really is an exciting time, you know, in this area.
It really is. There's so much happening in the cell and gene therapies right now. So it is exciting whenever we hear about these investments. And Rob, I wanted to give you a chance to talk a little bit about some of the work that CCRM is doing. I know with CCRM, you bundle these technologies to create these stronger companies from the outset. And so I wanted to see if you could explain how that strategy works and share maybe an example of how that has led to a company being created.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so within my team at CCRM, the idea is that we look to support technologies at an early stage. So we're trying to leverage CCRM's sort of knowledge of the sector of emerging technology trends and unmet needs to try and identify potential technologies and opportunities early on. We have something called a venture studio that we run in-house where we do sort of blank canvas work to try and come up with technology solutions to current unmet needs. And then we look to source potential solutions. And so the idea there is that we go to our networks, we work with collaborators, academic colleagues, and we reach out to them across the globe to understand whether the programs that they're working on may be a fit for what we're trying to do. So part of the model is to certainly to collaborate, to potentially bundle technologies together. So can we combine different pieces of intellectual property that either, you know, strengthen a concept or perhaps open up, you know, a new opportunity that we're interested in looking to work towards? And then the model beyond that, going back to what Jackie was saying early, we do a lot of diligence work that sort of transforms into a process of building out a proposed venture strategically. So we'll pull together all of the bits that we've spoken about that need to feature within a business plan and an investor pitch deck. And then the other thing that we do is we work collaboratively to try and fill in some of the gaps in the early data set to prove out a technology within a proposed indication. So quite often that will be, looking to generate data in a clinically relevant model against a current gold standard or benchmark that we can hopefully give an indication as to why, you know, hopefully we're developing a better mousetrap or something that will serve an unmet need. So we do all of that work in collaboration, as I say, under an incubation program. And then we have various go, no-go points. At the back end of that, we would look to hopefully pull together the strategy that we've created with a new improved directed data set and think about collaborative company creation. And so the idea thereon in is that we will incorporate a company, we'll look to our networks, see if we can get the company invested looking to create jobs and build a footprint around that new venture. And so we hold up to 5 incubation projects in any given 1 year. As I say, we look at things very early. And so because of that, you know, there is some attrition in the process. But a nice target for us would be to try and incorporate a new venture in any given year. Unfortunately, I can't talk too much about some of the ventures we've got going on at the moment because obviously it's so early, we keep everything somewhat in stealth. But hopefully you'll learn more about some of the things we've been working on in the coming months.
That is so exciting and fantastic. And I think that leads really nicely into what I wanted to talk about next. And Jackie, I'll start with you. I'd love to know some of the projects that are happening in this specific cell and gene area that you're most excited about. Are there investments or programs that you'd like to tell us about? And again, I know some of the stuff we can't talk about, but if there are things you can talk about where you're really just excited about what's happening in the industry as a whole.
Yeah, so on the industry side, I'm particularly excited around new uses for different cell therapies that are out there today. Again, I'd mentioned, you know, one space here that I haven't made an investment in the space, but I'm starting to see really interesting clinical data, even in Alzheimer's disease here, where you can actually start to modulate perhaps a disease like this, which is very, very difficult to target. Again, take a look at company like Notch Therapeutics here in Ontario. They're developing at the early stage cell side cell therapeutics that could help with a number of disorders in the oncology space, and developing again, as I said, a set of cells here that could be used for multiple different therapeutics, kind of off-the-shelf type of therapies, which we haven't seen before. If you take a look at gene therapy, there's been a lot of advances on that side recently that we've seen here. And in Canada in particular, I think that there's been a lot of technologies that are starting to at least get to the clinic and perhaps, you know, in the clinic on that side, you know, out of CCRM, you know, out of other institutions here that could have potential.
Yeah, it's definitely a time where we have so much to think about in terms of what we're doing for the industry as well as for patients and people living with chronic illness. It's really wonderful to see so many things coming together. Rob, I would also love to hear what you're excited about. Are there specific companies or investments or things happening in the sector that you think are particularly of interest?
Yeah, so I think, you know, speaking at a sort of overarching level, I think Jackie mentioned earlier, but, you know, lots of exciting technologies out there now, and which, you know, just open up real opportunities in a whole different array of disease states. So, you know, mentioning things like synthetic biology, which looks to use sort of logic gate type approaches to really control responses within the patients. A lot of work towards developing targeted therapies that will reach specific cell types or tissues within the body to, you know, create much more potent therapeutics with better side effect profiles. We've mentioned, you know, targeted therapies by using things like, you know, CARs and targeting specific antigens as well. You know, on the gene side, gene editing and, you know, increasing precision around that. And I think overall, a push towards trying to do more within the patient. So, you know, getting the therapeutic actually sort of manufactured in situ, if you like. A lot of technologies that are, you know, headed towards that direction, which would obviously simplify manufacturing and hopefully patient access. And so, you know, I just think there's a really exciting sort of sandbox of tools and technologies that's building now that, you know, will lend themselves towards, in the future, treating more prevalent, more complex disease states, and hopefully, you know, leading to curative therapies for conditions which currently there are no solution.
Absolutely. And as we start to wrap up, I always like to ask my guests if there's anything that I've missed that you think it would be important for someone listening to this who wants to know more about venture capital in the cell and gene space. Is there anything else you'd like to add? And Jackie, I'll throw it to you if there's anything you think that we should add to this conversation.
Well, you know, one thing that, again, this year's around, you know, company creation, right? And you know, taking new ideas, technologies, you know, in the cell gene therapy space forward. And, you know, one thing that, you know, I always, you know, really stress, it takes a lot of passion, it takes a lot of dedication, and it takes a lot of tenacity to move any program forward. When reaching out to groups, you know, to fund my program, to take that risk, you'll hear a lot of no's, and that's okay. You'll hear a lot of feedback from each one of those groups that you speak to, and you know where you get that feedback, you know that insight I think will be very valuable for any early stage entrepreneur to move their program forward. So those things are really important. And when presenting your idea or your business plan to us, that does make a big difference when you pitch to groups like us or any group that you're wanting to obtain funding from.
Excellent advice. And Rob, is there anything you would like to leave us with that we haven't covered or that you think would be good advice for someone who is listening interested in this area?
Yeah. So I think, first of all, I think the point on tenacity is a really important one from Jackie. You know, it's tough raising money, you know, particularly in recent times. It's highly competitive. So people do need to be resilient. You know, it's just a case of finding the one or two that provide that good fit. So I think, you know, keeping morale high is really important. I think beyond that, a key sort of parting message from myself would be just that we probably need to be cognizant that we need to create a story. There needs to be, a compelling message and vision that is set out and communicated to, other stakeholder groups. I think sometimes we become so entrenched in the science and believe in the technology, which is absolutely, hugely important as well. But, you have to pull other people in. And so going back to that strategy and vision and, setting out that messaging and being able to talk to different stakeholder groups is really important as well.
Excellent. And I always love that last question because we get some wonderful nuggets that I think everyone listening will enjoy. So thank you both for joining me on the show today. This has been such a fantastic conversation. I've learned a lot and I hope our listeners have too.
Thank you, Krista.
Thanks, Krista.
I'm Krista Lamb and you've been listening to Commercializing Living Therapies with CCRM. If you liked today's show, please be sure to share it with others. You can find more episodes at ccrm.ca/podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you have a question or comment about the show, email us at podcast@ccrm.ca or reach out to us on social media at @ccrm_ca. Our hashtag for social media sharing is CCRM Podcast. Thanks for listening.